Welcome to Days in the Wild. I just want to talk to you real quick before we jump into this next episode. I can't urge you enough to get out there and give us a review on iTunes or the Podbean app. It's super important. Helps me keep this free, helps me reach new people and continue to grow. If you don't know how to do that, hit me up and I'll help you through it. Also want you to go and give Phoenix Shooting Bags a look. Check out their website, phoenixshootingbags.com. They are our main sponsor and they put an excellent product out, and it means a lot for me for you to go check them out and take a look and see what they got. So without further ado, let's roll into this next episode. Hi, welcome to Days in the Wild, formerly Interviews with the Hunting Masters. Today we are talking to Candy Yao, and we're going to talk a little bit about her experiences in the hunting industry and talk to her a little bit about her, maybe her most memorable hunt or a hunt that stuck out for her. I'm going to apologize now. We are, like everybody else, under quarantine here in or shelter at home or whatever, shelter in place. So my children are running around the house. My dogs are barking. So we might get interrupted. Anyway, so Candy, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm great. I honestly, considering everything that's going on right now, I'm excellent. So
exactly. As long as they don't shut down the spring hunting, we're good.
Yeah. I've actually had a couple of clients that we canceled hunts for spring hunts. So that really, unfortunately, I mean, it's money, but it's not going to make or break me. My main business is getting hurt a little bit, but my hunting stuff doesn't really affect me in the grand scheme of things when that goes down. So, why don't you give us a little rundown about yourself before we get into some of these questions?
Sure. So Candy Yao, I live in Central Oregon with my husband, Randy. We did have a television show that aired nationally for 3 years and internationally. It airs locally now and on YouTube, Extreme Desire TV, all backcountry, do-it-yourself, pretty extreme hunting. It was a lot of fun. If nothing else, it saved a ton of precious memories of our family and friends and the things we got to do. Very active in the outdoor industry. I serve on the Oregon Access and Habitat Board, so trying to make more land available and more hunting available for hunters, as well as work with the ranchers. I'm involved with what they call the DC Project. So that's one lady from each state goes once a year, sometimes twice a year, to Washington, D.C. to fight for our Second Amendment rights. You should see this little country girl in Washington, D.C. It was pretty interesting, but it's a great project, and it's something that we all need to fight for, that's for sure. And then I'm started at what we call a ladies hunting camp 7 years ago, but it's exploding across the nation. So grandmother of 9 beautiful grandchildren and just love life.
Cool. But talk to me a little bit more about that that ladies hunting camp.
Ladies hunting camp. So I grew up on ranches and for years, and then trained horses for years, for about 30 years. And I found that women really, especially once the kids start to get raised, they're really hungry to learn things. And so I traveled all over the country doing seminars on horse training and helping women. And so when we got so active in the hunting industry, I said, that's what we should do. And of course, Randy was skeptical. He didn't see how it could work. And it has literally exploded. These women want to learn so much. And it's so hard to learn from, your significant other or even a dad or a brother.
Right. My wife doesn't take instruction very well from me.
I don't think she
learns great from everybody else, but she doesn't want to hear it from me.
Exactly. That's what makes this work.
Yeah.
Because the instructor that we bring in, and we bring incredible instructors, when they tell them something, it's probably the same thing you just said, but it just is taken differently from the wife or the girlfriend or the daughter or whatever.
Right. My daughter's luckily, well, my oldest daughter, my youngest daughter, doesn't take instruction from in any aspect for well from anybody, but my oldest daughter, she's very good at applying what I'm teaching her and so on and so forth. She's come a long way already. I mean, she's not even 11 yet, and she's already shot a hog and a javelina and a coos deer this past year.
Very good.
Two of them with the crossbow and one of them with the deer with the rifle. So, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I'm proud of her. We're,
yes.
Hopefully, we're supposed to go. She's got a youth tag here for mid-April for turkey. So, I'm still planning on going. We'll see what happens.
So, that's kind of what we're thinking. We're planning on all this in hopes.
Yeah. So, tell me what it was like being a woman coming up in the industry, because, you know, you had some spotlight. I mean, it's, you know, just women hunting, I'm sure there's some stigma, but being a public figure in hunting, I think, is a totally different story. So
it is. It is. Yes. So just, I mean, being out and hunting with men, which the majority still of what I do hunting is I'm the only lady in camp. That does change a lot now. Some of the other guys' wives are coming because I'm there, but that doesn't really bother me at all, that aspect of it, because I grew up on ranches working with the men. I trained horses. You know, that was mostly a man field of occupation. That stuff doesn't really bother me. In a way, it's almost easier.
Right.
Sometimes if there's a lot of men, you never have your private time, and that can be a little bit frustrating, or sometimes I get stuck doing all the meals and the dishes and still hunt all day. And that can be a little bit frustrating, but in all, it's a ton of fun. I would say probably the main negatives of it would be the products. And here again, this comes from them being under the spotlight a lot. You know, when we were hunting as kids growing up, or even early adult life, we wore the husband's or their father's hand-me-downs, and we just cinch a belt around them and, you know, had the big old red and black coat and the wool hat, and it worked, right? Like, we don't really necessarily need camo. It did work, but it was very uncomfortable. Nothing fit. You know, rifles, until just recently, weren't made to fit ladies. We just adjusted. We made them work. We figured out how we could make any of the equipment work. So that's been super hard. And I've noticed with this influx of women in the outdoor industry that products are now being made for women. In one of the stories further down, I'll talk quite a bit about the Weatherby Camilla. I picked that up at SHOT Show the very first year before they were even selling them, and it felt like melted butter. I didn't have to readjust or move this or, you know, lean back or lean forward or anything else. It just felt so great. And we have sold so many of those to ladies and youth since then, just because they just fit. And so that's really encouraging for ladies. Like, we have the same kind of great gear that you guys have now, only
right.
It fits.
Right. I saw that a lot in the archery industry. That women are always just getting the youth bow. Oh, let me just put her in a youth bow, you know, because that will be able to adjust it to her, to the draw length, to the size, the draw width. And, you know, the youth bows they're designed for kids. They're not, you can't put a Matthews VXR up against a Mission. I don't even know, Rampage or whatever, you know, it just doesn't, they're not the same. And I learned this early on with Maria, my wife. The first bow that I got her, she didn't fit her great. She didn't shoot it really well. So you don't have interest. You lose interest because you think you can't do it, but you don't realize it's not really you. It's the equipment that you're using. And then I got her into a Matthews Jewel right after that. We actually did a video about it, you know, and she started shooting really good, you know. Now actually she shoots my Halon. She shoots a Halon. I had a Halon, and we were looking at the new bows, the Avail, and because the Halon was available on 50-pound limbs, and you know, it was a better shooting bow. I was able to set it up to her size too, because it had cams that went down to her size, you know, her draw length. Mm-hmm. And she shoots that amazing. So, like, I think it's important, you know, for everybody to want to get on the same page and operate at the same efficiency level, that they all be using, you know, the best of what they could afford, of course, you know. But
exactly.
Yeah. So, and the same thing goes with the camouflage too. Like, the first bunch of camo that I bought her. I mean, it was meant for ladies, but it was like, you know, who was making, Scentlock was making some stuff, and I bought her some She Safari, but it wasn't, it still wasn't. Now she's wearing the Sick and Lady stuff and she loves it, and she feels confident.
You know, it's tough, and it's made for what we do. And
right. Yeah. Exactly.
If we're going to follow you guys around, we got to have the same equipment.
Exactly. Exactly. So what would you say to a woman who either wants to get into hunting or had just gotten into hunting, or even to their spouses that are wanting to get them into hunting? Like, what are some of the things you would tell us men to help shorten the learning curve if we're teaching our wives? And
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we can ever just totally get rid of the fact that you can't teach spouses. I think that the women still do look up and, you know, respect their husbands, but it's just really hard to learn from them. But I think the most important thing of all is that they need to get the education as far as safety and building confidence. I think a lot of women don't believe that they're capable of doing what we do out there. And so, and they are. And I love watching their faces when they realize they can do it, not just the shooting, not just the hiking, but, you know, the harvesting the animal, the skinning, the quick quartering, the help pack it out. You know, the whole field to table concept is so huge for a lady to know that they're providing their family just like a man. So the education is the most important, and hence that's why we started the Ladies Hunting Camp. But I think it's, even if you don't do that, even if you just have a friend down the road that's really good, it's easier for them to learn from women, but half of our instructors are men. And as long as it's not their spouse that's in that class, they learn just great. You know, one instance, we have an instructor, great instructor, super great instructor, one of our best friends, and he tried to teach his fiance, and it did not go well. We had to stop the class and to take the firearms away from everybody. And no, it really wasn't that bad, but it was getting there. It just wasn't working. And as soon as we got her calmed down and got her confident, and I know what it is. It's no different than a mother wanting or a father wanting their child to succeed. You want them to be the best, and you want them to do it all, that you push just a little bit too hard. And because you love them, because you care way more than Joe Blow that's teaching the class. He might like them, but he doesn't have that compassion. And so you might just push just a little too much. And then when the wife gets that, then they're just like, I quit. I'm done. Yeah. You know, and the other concept too, especially like I'm getting older and it's almost impossible to keep up with Randy Yao. I mean, I don't know what he is. He's Superman or something. But as I get older, I can't go that fast. So I won't ever say it to him, but we were hunting with another couple, and she couldn't keep up, and her husband was getting after her. And so I just broke down the dynamics of how our bodies are so different, the strength in our legs and our, you know, our step. You know, I'm taking 1.5 to 2 steps per one of Randy's. I'm working twice as hard. I can't step over that dead fall. I have to get high centered. You know, we're just not built like a man. And I think if we keep that open and really want these ladies to learn, and then finding success. If you don't find success, they're going to quit. So whether it's just in their shooting, whether it's in actually getting an animal, or if it's just having like friends and going out in God's country and sharing a good day together, scouting, stuff like that, success is so important.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think it's important with anybody, even just new hunters in general, kids, everything. I think that you got to find early success, because if you go out there your first 10 times and you don't even see an animal, or you don't even like, it's less like, wow, that's hard to get somebody to want to keep on going. I've had that before too. Like, you know, friends that I got into hunting, this is many, many years ago before I was as efficient of a hunter as I am now. I would take somebody out and, you know, once, twice, and, you know, I hunted 2 times and I didn't kill a deer. You and I know that, you know, it doesn't happen every time you go out, but you got to be able to take people to those places or start them out with those things that you're going to find success, some kind of success, not necessarily harvesting an animal, but at least having an opportunity or seeing whatever. Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%.
Because that gets in your soul, and then you're happy and you can keep going, even if you don't harvest. You know, then you get the bug and you can't quit. So,
yeah, it's a double-edged sword, though, too, because, and I realize this with the kids, that my nephews, every time I've taken them, they've killed an animal. And now they expect every time they go out that the end result is going to be a buck on the ground or whatever.
Right.
And so they got you got to give them a little bit of everything so they understand. Because even my daughter too, now she's like, you know, we go out on a day and we don't get something, and she's like, well, that sucked, you know. Well, you know, it doesn't happen every day, honey, you know, but it's funny. But I think there's got to be a way to help them appreciate everything that goes into it, everything about it, and so on and so forth. So
exactly. No, you got to have the appreciation. If it becomes too easy and you never have buck fever, or you never get super excited, or, you know, I still, and a lot of women do, I cry frequently. And it's not so much that I took a life, it is, but it's not so much that. It's that, you know, you've been planning some of these hunts. You've been planning for years. Mm-hmm. And then you go there and you're physically exhausted. You don't usually get a trophy animal unless you put everything you've got into it. And all of a sudden it all comes together and it's overwhelming.
Right.
So that appreciation has to be there. You have to still love this and have so much passion about it.
Absolutely.
And that comes from not always harvesting an animal too.
Yep. I used to tell people that all the time, like, specifically about bow hunting. I'm like, if you're getting into bow hunting because you're expecting to kill something, or, you know, you got to have an appreciation for everything, the birds, the bees, the wind, everything, you know, the whole experience of it all. Otherwise, you're going to go home disappointed way more times than you go home happy. So sure. I wanted to ask you, from your perspective, what would you say is, in your experience, what was the, I don't want to say the easiest, but what do you think is the best gateway drug, the best gateway hunt to get to bring in, you know, your spouse or a woman or your fiance or even daughter or whatever? What would you say is a good hunt to get them interested?
The one that we usually turn to the most, and it doesn't always work, the same thing for youth and for ladies, is your deprivation tags, your cow elk tags. Several reasons why. Usually, they're giving those out to the ranchers who are having their fields devastated because they have too many elk on them. But the elk come down in the winter, and they're usually not in such extreme country. So, you know, their first hunt's an archery bull tag up in the mountains, you know, the success is probably not going to be super great. And they may never want to go again because they might not be able to walk afterwards. Whereas this is in usually a little more easier country to get around in. And if the cows are there, you have a pretty good chance of having some success, as long as they, you know, their equipment fits them and they know what they're doing and they have someone standing there that has some kind of a concept of how to talk them through it. That's our first one. We love doing that. We love finding cow tags for ladies, youth. We've taken out how many youth on cow hunts. Those are great. There's also a really great program in Wyoming. It's called the Women's Only Antelope Hunt. But each hunter, you apply and you get so many ladies get to go on this hunt. Each hunter has a mentor. So they have someone that goes with them that's experienced and helps them. And wow, just watching all of that is so amazing. And it just changes their lives. It builds their confidence, you know, just from, we had one lady take ladies hunting camp, well, I don't know, probably 5 years ago. And then she somehow got in on that and harvested her first animal that year too. And she was going through some really hard times in life. And this was just like a huge game changer for her. So the other one that's kind of fun, it might be more accessible, is bird hunting. I haven't done a lot of it, but I love it. And that's a great one to get them in. You know, you probably don't have to travel clear across the country to go on. And those are great ones.
Yeah. See, I try to take Maria bird hunting. She didn't care for it too much. We went pheasant hunting. This was really early on. This is probably almost 10 years ago. Oh, yeah. It was before Ella. So, yeah, it was over 10 years. But she did like turkey hunting.
Yeah.
She loved the whole riding around on the roads and stopping, goblin hearing and then going after, kind of like, you know, some quasi elk style running. And we didn't harvest one. We did have turkey come in, and it just, I didn't have a clear shot. She didn't have a tag, but she was in on it. You know, she liked gobbling. She liked making the calls and whatnot. And I thought that was a good one. I know back east, that's the go-to for youth, and it usually gets the kids interested in hunting. But here in Arizona, we don't have the greatest turkey hunting. Actually, we got pretty crappy turkey hunting, in my opinion. But some people think we have great turkey hunting, but I'm assuming they've never been somewhere where there's actually a lot of turkeys. But you know, and we try not to travel too much in the spring because I'm gone so much in the fall. But yeah, no, I could, that cow hunt sounds great. I actually was looking for something for that for Ella, which is my daughter. I was looking for something for her with that, and I can never get it to jive with her soccer schedule and school schedule and this and that.
Right. That is hard.
Yeah. But yeah, one of these days I want to get her. She's been putting in for the last 2 years now, so we'll see. So what are some of the things that you're doing to prepare for hunts? I'm just going to assume that's something different than what your husband does, or maybe it's not. Maybe it's exactly the same. But
pretty much the same, and I'm sure it's the same with you. It's a year-round deal. You know, you start putting in for tags, and I think even one state's in December, for sure by January, and you're sometimes not even done hunting at that point. Usually you are, but I know there's some hunts, especially down in your area, that go into, I think, December and January. So it is a year-round deal. You know, we put a ton of time, mostly Randy, but we study, you know, everywhere that we could possibly put in for a tag, and we place the odds, and it's, you know, that takes us pretty much clear till almost June. June is when we find out for Oregon, and then you've got your turkey hunting and your bear hunting, and then you've got 3 months off in the summer, and then antelope, and or someone draws a bighorn sheep tag, that starts in August, so, and it goes from there. It's just, it seems like it's a year-round deal, so I don't really know that there's a time that's down, except maybe a week in Christmas. So, you know, between Christmas and New Year's, I don't have a lot going. I think there is a really good hunt down there in Arizona for coos deer or something, though.
Oh, yeah. That's our best time. we're pretty much going strong until, because after the deer hunts are over in January, we're doing javelina hunts the whole month of February, which, and depending on the year, it goes into March too, like the first couple of days of March.
Wow, that's when I haven't been on it. It looks like a hoot.
Oh, you know what? It's my most popular hunt. It's crazy. I think mainly because it's nothing else is going on in the country, like as far as hunting is concerned. You know, in February, the number one, number two, the cost of the hunt was a lot less. Like, you want to go on a guided hunt, but still experience doing like spot and stalk and glassing and really, you know, climbing mountains and all that stuff. You're doing all that with a javelina. They're a lot easier to kill than a deer is, but you're doing all the same stuff that you would do on a coos deer hunt. So it's got a lot of allure for a smaller price tag and during a time that not much else is going on. So, you know, I get a lot of people that come from like colder states that want to come down, and, you know, so that's, it's, I mean, we take out like 30 people a year during that hunt. So
that would be a great first time hunt. I mean, we don't have javelina up here, so obviously I didn't think of that. I know lots of people take their kids. That's their first hunt.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. In Arizona, that is definitely the go-to number one starter hunt, but it also could be one of those hunts where the thing about javelinas is the hardest part about them is finding them. They're not as hard to kill. Once you found them, if you're smart about it, you'll get them killed, but it's fine. Yeah. Before we get into asking you about your most memorable hunt or, you know, your favorite hunt, give me three things that you could attribute your success to in the field.
Absolutely. That's super easy. So God would be number one. There's just It's like we talked about earlier, even if you don't harvest an animal, just getting in the backcountry and just spending time with just you and God and nature is to me what it's really all about. Of course, we all want something. We all want to take an animal home, but it doesn't always go that way. And my favorite saying of all is, with him, I can do anything. Without him, I am nothing. And there's also the other saying, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And that's been my, those are my two verses, and I'll repeat them all day long while I'm out there. And I'm not asking for God to give me success. I'm just asking for him to be a part of it and to help me be the best that I can be. So that's number one. Hands down, my husband's number two, even though he doesn't think that I learn anything from him. I really do. And he gets frustrated with me, but he's just such an an incredible hunter. Everybody loves to go with him. He's a ton of fun. We've been together 10 years, and I can't even begin to put all the memories and the hunts and the laughs and the tears that we put together out in the field. And you mentioned earlier, if we put in separate, we have never hunted separately yet.
I had
to come home from a couple hunts due to family problems or something, and he got to stay, but we never have. It's to the point now with this ladies hunting camp that we're probably going to have to start doing more of that. The ladies really want me to be with them on certain things. So that's coming down the road, but, you know, hands down, he's my rock. So, and then I think third, there's a lot of this. Friends and mentors, if you can pick a mentor or someone that just can be there for you, that you can call up and talk to. I mean, I have so many. You do in the hunting industry. You know, if I ever have a downer day, I can call Wayne Carlton or, you know, someone like that. And it's not even going to be about elk calling. Maybe it might, but it might not. And he'll have me laughing and he'll have me positive and confident again. And I think you can tack on to that too. If you don't get outside and if you don't start learning how wildlife lives, where they water, where they bed, where they go to migrate, where they're going to be during archery season, where they're going to be during rifle season, if you don't spend time watching and doing all of that, you're probably not going to have as much success. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've lived my whole life out there, and I think that's probably as much to do with it as the other things that I've just mentioned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, that's awesome. So why don't you give us your best, your most memorable hunt or your favorite hunt that you've ever been on?
Sure. So when I first read that question, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so hard because, you know, I've been there for several of the grandkids when they shot their first animal. That is just so cool. And I've been on some amazing hunts where I got some really trophy animals, and those are so cool. But hands down, it would be this last fall. So I have a sister, Vicky. She lives down there. She lives in Cave Creek, so she's in Arizona. Okay. And 9 years ago in May, she lost her son. He was killed in action in Afghanistan. So forgive me if I get a little bit here. But Vicky was a great hunter, one of the best shots I've ever seen. And her last hunt before Corey was killed was in Payson. And it turned out to be like a 2 or 3 day deal. And, you know, she ended up getting a really great bull, and Corey was with her. And she had so many pictures taken, and the stories were amazing. And then after Corey was killed, she just kind of, like, she'd go on hunts with us. She'd even pack a rifle, but she turned and looked at me and said, I have no intentions of ever taking another animal. Mm-hmm. And it just made us all sad. We're all, you know, we live in the outdoors. She still does. She trains horses, and she lives in the outdoors too. She loves to hike. She's tougher than boot leather. But we just couldn't get her past that. And we never could really figure out why. So anyway, this last, whenever you put in for Arizona bighorn, her husband Guy put her in for a bighorn desert sheep. And she had hardly any points. He'd been putting her in. She didn't even know about it. But I think she had like 5. And he had like max. I can't remember what the max is in Arizona, but he had 1 less than the max. And his credit card got hit. That's when we all are, oh my gosh, who wants to come help me? One of us got a sheep tag, and he's sure it's him, right? No,
right.
It's her. She instantly, first phone call, she calls, and I put it on speakerphone. So Randy and I are both listening, and she said, Corey wants me to get back into hunting. Otherwise, this wouldn't have happened. Will you be there? Well, hands down, we've got all these hunts planned. I said, we will be there. I don't care what it takes. I don't care if we have to fly in. We will be there. So she started getting excited. She started working out a little bit. She went to the range a few times. Her husband was super pumped. Like he was trying to get everything ready. He called me before he did it, but he went and bought her a rifle, and it was a nice rifle, but it didn't fit her. And he dinked around and put this scope on and this scope and this scope, and she was doing okay on the range. And then like the week before the hunt, he put a different scope on and got it set up really good for him, and away we go. And she did okay on the range shooting with it, but she wasn't really confident. So anyway, we go on the hunt, and there's all kinds of people there, and we're having a great time. We've got people scouting everywhere. We saw a couple nice rams the first day, and then the day before it opened. Opening day, her husband and I were scouting, and he says, I got a ram, Candy, get over here. So I go running over, and I watch that ram for a little bit, and then I saw movement, and I looked off to the right, and I said, no, guy, take another look. Look at the one on the right. Huge ram. She was going to be happy with just a regular ram. She just wanted to get this under her belt, right? She needed her confidence, and she knew this was just something she had to do. So definitely going after it. So I stayed on the spot and scope, and Randy and Guy and Vicky took off after this ram. She also, Guy kept telling Randy, she can't shoot over 300 yards. And he's like, this just ain't going to work. She's got to shoot over 300 yards. I'll talk her through it. Well, the scope didn't fit her. The rifle didn't fit her. And the ram wasn't going to stay too close. Needless to say, she shot 7 times and she never hit him. And last we saw him, he was running over the steepest part of the mountain and off the other side. So we pulled her out. And Guy says, I want you. He says, when we get back to camp, I'm going to have Vicky go to the range and we're going to shoot. Randy says, if you do that, she's a mess. She's balling. She's done. She's not going to back out. Right? And Randy says, nope. We've got Candy's little Weatherby Camilla, 6.5 Creedmoor, and it's got a Leupold CDS dial on it. So nobody has to know how far that sheep is.
Right.
You just set the dial for her, Randy, and just tell her what to do. And so the next morning we go out, we didn't figure we'd find that ram. And we sent a friend around the backside, and probably about 2 hours into the morning, he spotted it. And it was nice. Probably about another 2 hour hike to get to it. It was pretty rough. It was tough. I'm not used to jumping Shoya is all I can say, but we got there. So when we creep up over the top, Randy went and set that little Weatherby Camilla up, ranged it, set the dial, never told her another word. And then he kept saying, well, I apologize. We backed up. She went and shot a paper plate that morning and she drilled the same hole. So her confidence is back. And so Randy tells her, he says, it's just a paper plate. Right. And so he's putting her behind the rifle there. He says, just remember, it's just a paper plate. And she squeezed that trigger and it was rammed down. And it was just so amazing. I mean, there's not been a single hunt. We would sit there and talk about everything from the cactus to the jumping Choya to the everything. And it was just like, God was so, he was there every second of this. It was the most healing, but probably the moment that was the most was we got all the pictures taken and we got him skinned up. She got a bench made knife with it and we got him all skinned up and we've got him in quarters and we're getting ready to pack him out. We're just starting to put the quarters in the packs and out of the middle of nowhere, we've been there for days, haven't seen one yet. 2 fighter jets do a flyover. And she just dropped to the ground in tears. And, there were so many tears, but it was so much joy. I'll have to send you a picture of her face with that ram because I've never seen a smile like that on anyone ever in my entire life. And nice. Now every time she calls, she answers the phone. She goes, hey, guess what? And I'll say, what? I'm a sheep hunter. Her goal now is to get every other species in Arizona and then start hunting somewhere else. So
cool.
We took something that was horrible and we got her some confidence and we got her out there in God's country and she had success and it changed her life. And that's what I think is so important.
That's huge. That's a great story.
Thank you.
That's a great story.
I'm very,
very on board with that whole idea. I do that a lot with my clients. I do that with my kids. I do that with my wife. I just dial it and said, put the crosshairs on it and shoot because it's no different than you. Yeah. As soon as you tell them what the distance is, all this apprehension comes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No, huge. That I used to do this too with archery. Like, there's so much of it's mental. I tell the story a lot. I probably told it on this podcast a couple times, but one of my cousins, I was getting him into archery, and he would shoot great. He was shooting great the day before, right? And the next day we went out, and he was all over the place. He was sending arrows everywhere. He's like, there's something wrong with the bow. You know, there's something wrong with the bow. So I say, all right, give me the bow. Give me the bow. And I pretend like I was working on the bow, make some adjustments. I wasn't doing anything. I didn't move a damn thing. Okay. And I give it back to him. I said, okay, now here, hold this. And I want you to hold that pin on the target until you hear the bow hit the target. Mm-hmm. And he did that. And he whacked three of them, you know, touching each other right there. Perfect.
Right.
Like, awesome, man. He did. He's like, you got it. You got it dialed in. I go, I didn't touch a damn thing, man. It was all in your head. You know, you just, but yeah, I think it's important. Important confidence building or not to take down confidence, actually, not really building them up, but not taking them down by making them think that it's them or telling them about yardages and any of that stuff. Yeah, no, that's huge. So, well, cool. How can people get involved with the women's camp?
So it's pretty easy. The website is just ladieshunting.com. We have three camps coming up. We have an advanced rifle and long range shooting class or school camp, whatever. And we're going to also incorporate advanced scouting and tracking into that. And we're going to do that in the Bighorn Mountains. The ranges will be just out of Sheridan, Wyoming. And Weatherby is highly involved in this one. We'll have all the Camillas there as well as some other bigger batter guns, if you want to say it that way. And they'll get a tour of the Weatherby facility as well as a prairie dog hunt. So that is June 26th through the 28th. And we're hoping and praying. I feel pretty confident that we'll be able to move forward with this one just because Wyoming hasn't been hit that hard and we should be past the worst of it by then. We do have some ladies signed up. It should be a really, really incredible camp. We've got some great instructors coming. And then July 10th through the 12th, we'll be right here in Oregon. We have an advanced pistol/self-defense. I think every woman needs to know how not only just to defend herself in the parking lot, but with the pistol as well. Sad to say, but I think it's very true. And an advanced archery camp. And then the following weekend, which is July 16th through the 19th, we have our regular camp where we teach all the classes. You just rotate from class to class to class, and you can come never having touched a firearm, never having hunted, or you could be advanced level. And we have stuff for all of that. We have an outdoor fashion apparel and concealed carry fashion apparel, which gets really, really fun. Lots of barbecues. The ladies love these so much that some of them, the reason we're doing advanced camps is they keep coming back for like the third, fourth, and fifth year. And it's hard to take our regular camp and change the classes enough to still challenge them.
Gotcha. So
they absolutely love it. It's more fun than I don't know what.
Awesome. Well, cool. Anything else you want to share with us? Or?
I think that's it. Good. I think that was good. Unless you have any other questions.
I think I'm good. Thank you very much for coming on and sharing some of your experiences with us. And that was an excellent story. Hopefully I'll run into you one of these days down here. I go to Oregon too. I might have to have Randy come on and have him do a podcast with us.
He would love it. Yeah, it would, you know, because he's very involved in the lady stuff as well. But you and him could just sit and talk hunting tactics all day long and have a blast. He would love it.
Awesome. Great. Thanks a lot.
If you ever get up here, and we'll give you whatever little.
Oh, I usually come every year, but I don't think I'm going to make it this year. I have two clients that I need to hunt, that I need to guide here for elk. I've been coming for the last 3 years. To hunt the coast for Roosevelt, but this year I don't think I'm going to make it. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. But awesome. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. I'll send this over to you too.
Great. Bye.